This is SR1.
Stand and fight with Nick Schroeder.
Come on! On a school night!
I am William Wallace. And I see a whole army of my countrymen here in defiance of tyranny. You've come to fight as free men. And free men you are. What will you do with that freedom? Will you fight?
Fight against that? No! We will run!
And we will live. Aye. Fight and you may die. Run and you'll live. At least a while. And dying in your beds many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
Welcome back to another round here on SR1 Sundays News Talk STL. I am the Notorious Nick Schroer, joined by Big Perm, Eric Michael. Is that what they called you in high school?
Yeah, that, Sideshow Bob, I don't know, one of those two.
What about Big Worm?
Yeah, no, my wife would say no.
That was another guy. Well, if you haven't heard the news, I will tell you this much. Freedom is alive and well in, not necessarily the United States, but in Missouri.
Yeah.
And at least 11 other states that have freedom caucuses.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's great.
That's great.
It is.
Whatever. Whatever sounds good to me. Just pass some good stuff.
Well, I mean, you know, sorry, it sounds a little anticlimactic, but you would think that after, what, almost 200 years, that freedom should not feel like a grassroots movement in 2023, 2024.
It shouldn't have to.
You wouldn't think, like, are we going that far backwards? I don't know, I kind of feel like this administration's put us back to the Stone Age with some of our, you know, the rules and regulations and so many restrictions with our freedoms. Yeah, I mean, that clip you play, I mean, it's perfect,
William
honestly,
Wallace,
for the time where we're at right now.
I like the guy in that movie, which is Braveheart. And the guy in the movie, when William Wallace comes out, he goes, "You're not William Wallace! William Wallace is 7 feet tall!"
And then he's like, "Yeah." And I had lightning bolts shooting out of my arse.
Shooting out of my arse? Like, I didn't know you identified as a Zemzer.
That's a Zapzer.
A Zapzer. So we're gonna get into some crazy stuff that's been happening in Washington, D.C. It's not necessarily just the American people that are getting screwed under Democrat control. We'll tell you more, but you might need to make sure that your kids are well put to bed. We're going to get to that in about a half an hour. But the Biden impeachment inquiry was officially voted on, opened up. Are you excited? I don't know. We're going to get into that. And last but not least, and here's where we're going to start. Republicans are bringing back freedom. Conservatives are bringing back freedom in the state of Missouri. And if you heard any of News Talk STL this week, which you can go back and listen to the Tim Jones, Chris Arp show. I think I broke the news on the Katie and Columbo show. And you like how I did that?
I do.
Not
I like
the Columbo
it.
And Katie.
Nice.
We put ladies first this time, Tony. But we, were invited by a very special guest, the State Freedom Caucus Network, linked into guys like Chip Roy, you name it, Byron Donalds, Jim Jordan. Jim Jordan, who will wrestle you right here, take you down. That's what we need in the state of Missouri. We need people that are going to stand up to tyranny. And the State Freedom Caucus Network was born out of the national movement. And we're going to have a very special guest on, I think, when you have to leave. We're going to bring on Rick Bratton, a senator. He was a state rep. He was a Marine. I think you're always a Marine. It's not.
Yeah. Once a Marine, always a Marine.
We're going to have him on because, pardon me, he is the new chairman of the Freedom Caucus in the state of Missouri. So one of the guys that we got to meet when we were down when we were down in D.C., we got to meet Eric Burleson. And Senator Eric Burleson, who we're going to have on at some point, he, again, started in the House, had his own business, went to the Senate, passed many good Second Amendment bills, strong liberty-minded bills, founded the conservative caucus in the House. And now he's the only member of the Missouri delegation. When you look at Congress, I thought Cori Bush might have been there. All jokes aside, Eric Burleson's the only member of our congressional delegation from the state of Missouri that's a part of the Freedom Caucus. But we got to meet, and again, I was, man, this entire month I've been doing work, going into other states, doing stuff for my actual job, doing things for legislative meetings, and all of that kind of came together when we were invited to come to D.C. And I was going to be very close in the area, so we got together with other members in the Senate and the House that got invited. This third party came in and vetted us. They came in and said, look, we've got 11 states. We've got the House, the people in Congress. It's time for us to expand somewhere else. Where are the freedom fighters? And they picked a handful of us in the state of Missouri. We're going to be talking to Rick Breton about that. But one of the guys that I actually ran into, someone that I've never met before, was a senator out of South Carolina, a guy by the name of Ralph Norman, and heck of a guy. Kind of seems like he'd fit right in with SR1 Sundays and the News Talk crew. Here's what he had to say moments before we got there.
Where's the guts on your side? You've got a president, Joe Biden, who's cognitively gone. Why don't you get with his handlers, whoever it is? Now, you can argue if you think he's not cognitively gone, I would wager a good bit of money. You give him with five doctors, they would tell you the man's not there. Now, that's what America's concerned about. That's what America wants.
Would the and gentleman yield?
Let me just finish. Those are the concerns. And I get the theater to try to divert this to the things you mentioned about the hearings, how you think. The real concerns affecting the pocketbooks of Americans, and you're going to see it. I hear it. I'm in that world of construction workers. And they're sick and tired of what this administration is doing to sell this country out. And they're going to let us, they will let their feelings known. Now, you can disagree with that, but.
So that senator is one, is part of the Freedom Caucus in D.C., and he's someone who actually is taking the fight to the other side. And as we see, we're going to get into this in a little bit later. What has this new speaker done? What has the Speaker of the House, Johnson, done in protecting more money from going to Ukraine, protecting the American people from these warrantless searches? I mean, we've got the NDAA, we've got all these other acronyms that basically say we're losing freedom as a free society. He was supposed to stand in the way. He's not a member of the Freedom Caucus. But when you look at who voted against all of these different votes, the Defense Authorization Act and all these other goofball bills that have these secret infringements upon our liberty in there, there's the Freedom Caucus that voted against it. But surprisingly, and we attack her a lot on this show for being idiotic, and I think she kind of ruined it when she stepped in it later, but Cori Bush actually voted against it. Cori Bush said, no, you know, when we've got radioactive material harming our people, well, you know, we've got crime is going out of control. She didn't mention the border. She didn't mention the border. She didn't mention a couple other things that I think were very vital to her point. But she said, for these reasons, we don't need to spend another 800 plus gazillion dollars or whatever the hell they did and also have these warrantless searches. And those are the rare moments where I think we do need to applaud our opposition, to let them know, hey, it's not just party politics anymore.
Right.
If you get the policy right, I don't give a damn if you're Green Party, Red Party, Blue Party, Brown Party. I don't care.
Right. If it's good for the people, if it's good for your constituents, then yeah, absolutely. I like how he did, you know, he came out and asked, where's the guts on your side?
Yeah.
And he's not just saying, you know, they show their testicular fortitude when they're trying to,
or lack thereof,
right? When they're trying to fight the, you know, the right, what they try to deem as the extremists. But where are they when they stand up to their own side? When they know that it's just, it's, you know, an infringement on all of our rights. It's tyrannical. All of the things that they're trying to put and blame, you know, on us. That's them. They're the ones that are doing it. Where are those people on that side where they say, you know what, enough's enough. We've strayed too far from what we were elected to do. When are they going to start actually representing them instead of their own interests?
That's a great point. And, you know, the straying away from what you were elected to do, it gets hard when there's no term limits in Congress.
Right.
And the swamp, which is a much bigger swamp than what we have in the state of Missouri. But you look at the millions and millions and millions of dollars that are put into the campaign coffers of the people that do forget their elected duty, when they forget that they are supposed to represent we the people, and they're cozying up to the lobbyists and the special interest groups. And that's why we have these individuals that are so hard to take down, because you're already at a disadvantage from the grassroots. If you're going to attack a congressperson or a U.S. senator that has been voting the wrong way, that has forgotten their duty to represent we the people, heck, they've got $5, $10 million in campaign coffers ready to go.
Yeah.
Well, let me play. So Ralph Norman's point, Senator Norman's point, this dude is not healthy. If Donald Trump were to say this, Ronald Reagan were to say this, heck, even when George Bush did say things like this, the media went gangbusters. But here is our president this week. Let me know. I didn't get taught this kind of math in school. I'm going to see if you did.
4 years of infrastructure week, but it failed. He failed. On my watch, instead of infrastructure week, America's having infrastructure decade. Decade. Over $1.3 trillion. Trump just talks the talk. We walk.
I say, son. Here it is again.
Over $1.3 trillion. Trump just.
Over $1.3 trillion.
Oh my gosh.
Can I get an amen? What does that mean?
That to me, that our money now identifies as complete nonsense anyway. So yeah, he's there. He's all there. He's cognitively, functioning.
So Smokey Robinson, we missed it. We were both traveling during the big kickoff of Hanukkah, and I went on social media, wished everyone who celebrates Happy Hanukkah. Well, Smokey Robinson, I don't know if you caught this from Smokey Robinson. He tried to put Biden to shame, but I still think that you can't overcome the stupidity of Biden. But check this out from Smokey Robinson on what is that, Cameo, where you can pay people to say stuff. Yep. Somebody wanted him to wish us a Happy Hanukkah or wish someone a Happy Hanukkah, and this is what they got for their money.
Want me to wish you Happy Chanukah? I have no idea what Chanukah is, but Happy Chanukah because they said so. Anyway, God bless you, babe, and enjoy Chanukah.
Chanukah. Now, Smokey Robinson did find this post, and he went in, Cameo shared it, and he went in and said, I know what Chanukah is now. Happy Hanukkah. But, I mean, you get paid. I don't know how much, probably several hundred bucks he's getting paid to wish somebody.
Right. How long do you think it would take if somebody's paying you? And, well, I don't even know what Chanukah is. Well, Google.
Look it up.
Right. It's right there on your phone. All you have to do is go, hey,
type
Google.
In, what is Chanukah?
Yeah, what is Chanukah? And they'd probably tell you like a new hot sauce or something.
Yeah, if somebody said, if I'm on Cameo and nobody's going to pay me to wish them a happy Chanukah or Hanukkah, whatever. But if they did and they said, hey, wish Bill a happy falafel.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to look it up because
like, what's a falafel?
I think a falafel is something totally different that doesn't mesh into here, but let me look it up first. Yeah. But the fact that Cameo is now kicking out like the funny stuff that's happening.
Yeah.
Man, and who's that that congressman who got kicked out, George Santos? Have you seen any of the? I've seen clips. I don't care. I mean, look, if you're a lying scumbag politician, and a lot of people say, oh, wait a second, but there's worse out there. Yeah, I do know that there's worse.
Yeah.
And that's where I think that it should be an even playing field. If you're going to go after someone like George Santos, who's a liar, there's a crap ton of U.S. senators on both sides of the aisle, crap ton of congressmen on both sides of the aisle that have lied about military service, lied about their ethnicity. I mean, you name it. And now you've got Bob Menendez, who is coming under fire again. And I understood why, finally. When you look at the chief of staff of Fetterman, I think that was the same chief of staff that Harry Reid had. And I believe Harry Reid attacked the situation when he was the leader. And now it's all coming to a head again. But I don't know. I mean, this political world is chaotic. We're going to get into why the Freedom Caucus was formed in the state of Missouri, why that's different than the past caucuses. There used to be and that's a funny word.
Caucus.
Caucus.
Yeah. It's a caucus.
But when you look at the different caucuses that have been formed, the conservative caucus in the House, in the Senate, then you have you've got the Black caucus, you've got toxic waste caucus, you've got all these different caucuses. So we're going to talk to Rick Bratton, the new chairman of the Missouri Freedom Caucus, on why it was formed. What is he doing to make sure it doesn't get out of hand? What is he going to do to ensure that this caucus is the conservative muscle that we need to get all of our bills addressed and kill the bad ones too? That's something that we don't pay enough attention on, is killing all the bad crap.
Yeah.
But I think we're going to be doing that a lot more this year. Stick with us. Stand and Fight. Nick Schroer, Eric Michael, Big Perm is going to be back right after this.
2 feet of love, this is all it calls. I guess I'll make the drive down past the Texas line to make sure he's not
Stand
alive.
And Fight with Nick Schroer. Stand and Fight with Nick Schroer.
I don't even know what Chinooka is.
Make up your mind. Decide to walk with me
on a school night
on the lake tonight. Around the lake tonight by my side.
Welcome back, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, liberals of all ages, patriots. You're welcome too. Thank you for joining us here on this beautiful December night. Is this like the last weekend before Christmas?
Yeah. Yeah, because I think the 23rd, 24th, yeah, I think Christmas Eve is Sunday. Sunday.
When does Chinooka end?
You know, I don't know. Maybe I should Google it, you know, before I just say, I don't know what Chinooka is.
I've never heard of Chinooka. I don't know. Damn it.
So talking about the Freedom Caucus, you know, there are certain members that are the founding members based upon their overall voting records. And that's what we're going to talk about here in a little bit, probably in the 9 o'clock hour with Rick Bratton, but focusing on how we can expand our freedom footprint. There is somebody that I recommended to our good friend, Tim Jones, who's actually working with the State Freedom Caucus Network and helping guide the State Freedom Caucus in the right direction. And I mentioned to him, I know the perfect person. If we're going to start expanding, I know the perfect person that we can include in the Missouri Freedom Caucus to fight the liberals, to fight tyranny. And he's a friend of the show, Eric Mays.
Do I have the floor? Do I?
Yes, do you I? Do.
All that tough talk about what he ain't scared, won't act, and you sit there and condone it. May I be excused again? What did you say?
I said point of information.
What is your point of information? Since you want to say it like that, what is...
Point of order, Mr. Mays is not being germane.
Yeah, I'm not going to be germane, Tito, Michael, Jackie, or none of them. But I'm going to talk about this AECOM contract. Now, ain't that a cheap shot? Here, I'm talking about the contract, the time spent on it, and she talking about the Jackson 5.
Business, and I wouldn't care if you was the chair, the sofa, the TV.
Damn, damn, damn. It's a bunch of bull. You talking about everybody?
Oh, he did. He edited it himself.
Yeah.
Phil,
yeah.
I saw your finger on the button, Phil. We didn't need you that time. Big Perm, what did you think about Eric Mays being included in the Missouri Freedom Caucus? I mean,
I like it. I like people that they're just unfiltered. They're raw. You could take what they feel. You can tell what they feel at face value. There's no political posturing where they can just make it look good for the cameras and then have some kind of agenda behind it. No, his agenda is right there in the front. He'll let you know.
Yeah,
you know. I love it. I love it.
But he's not Jermaine.
No,
or he's Tito,
not.
Or Michael.
Any of those Jackson 5.
So, yeah, I think we need to address, like Trump has done, like Eric Mays has done, and there's a lot of political people that are out there, Jim Jordan, Chip Roy, Freedom Caucus members, that will address the BS at its face. They won't tiptoe around it. And that's the thing that when we got the new speaker, you look at Mike Johnson, and, you know, he started off strong. He started off saying, hey, we were going to send all of these January 6th videos to the general public to let them know that we're transparent. Let's get it done. He sends that out. He goes over and says that he's going to hold a strong position against the expansion of FISA, the NDAA, all of those warrantless applications. But then he started crumbling. And did you see who he was caught with this week?
I did not.
Former Speaker Paul Ryan.
Huh.
Former Speaker Paul Ryan, who resigned after Trump was elected. And Trump's like, look, we're going to build the damn wall. We're going to find a way to build a wall. We're going to stand up, drain the swamp. And he tried. I mean, I'm not one that says, you know, putting Trump on an altar saying, hey, everything that he did was perfect. No, you look at what happened during COVID, some of the implementations of shutdowns. We could have done a hell of a lot better. Benefit of the doubt. I think he has learned from it. I think that there have been many people asking questions like, okay, there's some weird stuff out there talking about another pandemic coming in 2025. And maybe because I know you're going to have to leave soon, maybe we'll talk about that next episode. All of this planning and these fake documents that they're saying, there's going to be a pandemic 2019, 2020. Well, there was.
Yeah, yeah. So 201, they lined that out for it. They're just setting the stage. It's the same thing. It's another election cycle. It's another reason for us to be forced to use the mail-in balloting because people are too afraid to go out, you know, to the voting booth. They're trying to basically hush anybody that has any kind of viewpoints that don't line up with their narrative on how we should do our voting.
Well, speaking of that, have you heard about the, and I'll have to pull it up, have you heard about the journalist that's been reporting on, and he's kind of helping the blaze and some of the stuff they're doing?
Oh, yeah, they're coming
the
after him.
The judge is coming after him saying you need to turn yourself in within so many days.
For what? I mean,
for speaking the friggin' truth.
Exactly. And regardless if you think it's the truth or not, that's our amendment, our First Amendment right is to have freedom of speech. We should be able to freely express ourselves.
That's a living, breathing documents, the Democrats say.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's breathing, it's living, and now it's scared of January 6th, so it's just going to start swinging.
Well, let me ask you this. No. If somebody on the right has a viewpoint of January 6th that they feel is dangerous, it's you're spreading misinformation, you're spreading all this, you know, whatever domestic terrorism crap. What about what AOC did when she was lying about being there on January 6th?
Well, she died that day.
She did. She died that day. She called her family, wished them, you know, a happy Chinooka, and, you know.
And her mom said, I don't know what Chinooka is.
But she said that she was there, that people were beating down the door. Yeah. She heard him yelling, where is she? Where is she?
Where's Waldo?
And honestly, what that's doing is that's spreading misinformation to make that event so much more violent than it actually was. And now that all these tapes are released and you see that this angry mob, I mean, they were so angry that they were staying just in the velvet ropes. And
can we get Paul back on the show soon?
We should. Honestly, okay. There are so many things that have happened from the news media side that we find out never actually happened.
Well, for those that don't remember, Paul, P45.
Yeah, P45.
We affectionately called him that day, was one of the members in my district in St. Charles County, good friends of Eric, who went to the Capitol like many people did.
Yeah.
I mean, there are radio talents out here. There are legislators or former legislators around here that went to the Capitol. And just like them, Paul went to figure out, okay, something has gone awry. There's something with these elections. It's just not right. President Trump wants to address us. President Trump said, stay peaceful. All of this crazy crap happened. And that was like when we interviewed him. That was over a year ago.
Yeah. Yeah, he went to a max prison in Chicago for 45 days. The judge literally told him that he didn't do anything illegal, but sentence him anyway.
Because he was filming, right?
He wasn't filming. He literally,
live streaming.
And they said that there was a potential that he could have caused some kind of chaos or disruption. I don't know, but still you can't use the minority, you know, like that. The pre-crime narrative, and just assume that somebody's guilty before they're innocent.
Do you think that's
innocent.
Where we're going, though?
That's honestly, yeah, I think so.
Because when you look at what some of these people that were in attendance that did not get arrested, now some of these people are saying, hey, I'm on a, not necessarily a no-fly list, but a terror watch list.
Yeah.
And even the baby, a baby of somebody who was at January 6th, come to find out, and the baby wasn't even born then, the baby now is on a terror watch list.
The baby?
This
holy, those must be some like dangerous diapers. So
That's a big blowout. Right. But now they have air marshals following them. You've got
I'm glad you brought that up.
The federal government saying, yes, we're diverting people from the border. We're diverting them from the human trafficking and the fentanyl trafficking. And what we're doing is having them monitor these J6ers.
Yeah, when you're at the airport and you have to take your shoes off, you have to tell them, you know, all of this personal information. Here's my firstborn. Take my left arm just to get on an airplane. And with all of that heightened security, because they recognize the dangers, you know, and they're trying to protect all the passengers and the airplanes. And then they're what? They're going to remove all of these air marshals from these planes that are there to ensure the safety of the public. And yet for what? To take and have them follow a bunch of people around just because, like, you know, Paul, he literally was hunted down because he posed for a picture.
Yeah.
That was it. He was in a picture. Somebody just happened to snap a picture. He was like, oh, hey, photobomb.
But he was one of the guys.
You can't say that at TSA.
But he was one of the guys that was in between the red ropes, in between the velvet ropes.
Yeah.
And I had somebody I was arguing with a couple weeks ago, and they said, you know, these terrorists and domestic terrorists, you know, blah, 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 they're gonna overthrow the government. Well, these are probably strong Second Amendment supporters. They probably have more guns at home than you have, you know, novels from Fabio, whatever. And you think that they're going to overthrow a government, the same government that Swalwell, the guy who slept with Ying Yang or Long Long, whatever the hell her name was.
She's dead now, by the way.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, she died in a plane crash.
When was this?
I just came across that that article. I don't know if it's, you know, misinformation, but yeah, I mean, it was a big article talking about, yeah, this person that was tied to all these, you know, I mean, she was a spy.
Yeah, she was a spy.
Doing her reconnaissance missions.
Eric Swalwell slept with.
Yeah, but hey, that's totally fine. But if you pose for a picture, that's a danger to our national security. But yeah, there was an article on the news. There was a news article.
Well, do you think all of those people that, if they wanted to overthrow our government, why didn't they bring any guns? Why didn't they bring any weapons? And why did they stay in between the damn velvet lines?
Yeah. And why were they trying to get the police, hey, come here, do your job.
This,
why are you just standing there?
Well, the one video that they released, and there was a clip of it that we saw months ago. Now we've got the full version where there's the guy in all black tactical gear. You can't see his face. And he's bashing in the window of the Capitol. There's another person that MAGA hat comes up, American flag, and he's yelling at him. What the hell are you doing? Stop this. This is not us. Well, guess what happens? The guy, after he sees that he's being filmed in the tactical gear, turns it around and makes it seem like the MAGA hat guy was the one bashing in the window. That was the narrative that we heard, is that these Trump supporters were bashing in the windows. Were there any? I don't know. Because nobody from the federal government will talk about how many federal agents were embedded there. Nobody will talk about how many, except for CNN, will talk about the Antifa members that were embedded in there acting like that they were Make America Great Again.
I guarantee there were actual MAGA people that were participating. But here's the question. Do you think that they would have participated had FBI or CIA or Antifa, had they not, you know, antagonized the situation? The guy you were talking about bashing in a window had an earpiece, had this, had that. You can tell he was a government guy. Plus, no MAGA person there was wanting to wear a mask. Because we were completely against those anyway. Yeah. So now all of a sudden you got all these people in matching uniforms, you know, wearing their little MAGA stuff that you can tell is fake. They have orange badges, kind of weird with that one. But he's bashing in that window. And then when one of the actual Trump supporters is like, hey, you don't do that. He like shoves the guy and was like, hey, no, he did this. He did
guy.
This.
This is the guy. Get him out of here.
We have video of that. Right. Like, what are you talking about? Oh, yeah. But real quick, I looked that up. So March 22nd, 2022. A Boeing 737 crashed and 132 people aboard in China. And Fang Fang, she was on that plane. Nobody knew about it. Yep, she's dead. Look, right here. If Google is telling you, it's got to be true, right? So they don't tell you.
Fang Fang is gone.
Yeah, exactly.
She gone.
Yeah.
What does she know on Hillary?
I don't know. I mean, probably know more than what everybody else over there knows anyway.
So real quick, you know, talking about the Capitol and the rotunda, if you've ever been in the Capitol in D.C., it's this massive rotunda. It's gorgeous. I mean, there's spots on the ground that'll show you Abraham Lincoln's desk was right here. I mean, it's historic. Well, what we've been lacking up there is a connection with God, a connection with Jesus. And this close to Christmas, I want to show you this because we need more of this. Due to the fact of what else was heard this week. So let's do the good, and then we'll do the naughty. Shall Jesus from the mountain, And these are individuals that are singing, speaking the name of Jesus over the Capitol, praying over the Capitol. So think about that for a second. This is what we need more of, because I don't know if you saw the news. It's not just the American people under this Democrat control that are being screwed. It's staffers that are under Democrat control that are also being screwed. If you've seen the video, do you know what I'm talking about?
Are you talking about the White House Christmas video? Or
no, the White House Christmas video is totally different. There
Thank
is
you for
a,
not playing that. If
No.
That hurts your eyes and ears.
That hurts my soul.
Yes.
But there was a male staffer that works under Senator Ben Cardin from Maryland, was caught under a mystery man on a video disgustingly unveiled to the world on Friday. It's the same nasty bastard that yelled, "Free Palestine!" directed at a Jewish Republican congressman. This is an incredible sign, to me at least, that the mental illness in the Democrat Party is just spreading like a cancer. To go from being an anti-Semitic punk yelling at members of Congress to thinking it's just fine to have coitus in a closed hearing room in the U.S. Senate with another man on the ground shows you how mentally deranged these nasty little things are. And it's all unveiled now.
Yeah.
So you see the disgust that's happening in the Capitol. I praise those people, and I thank those people that prayed over the Capitol, that spoke Jesus' name over the Capitol, because he's coming.
Yeah. And it's funny when they talk about the J6 people, and they said, "You did this. These are sacred halls." And then you find out what they're doing
exactly
within the sacred halls.
Well, we've got a couple more minutes with Big Perm here, Eric Michael. We're going to be back in just a couple seconds after talking to our sponsors. Listen to them and join us back here on Newstalk STL, SR1 Sundays. Nick Schroer, Eric Michael. We're standing. We're fighting. We'll be right back.
Stand and fight, Nick Schroer. Get arrested, guess, until he get the message. SR1 Sundays. Stand and fight with Nick Schroer.
Big Perm? I mean, Big Worm?
You sure that buzz?
That's old son.
Well, give me the rest. Somebody want a couple 20s around the corner.
That's so delicious.
You count on my money?
This guy has to start following the law. He's never followed the law his entire life, and sadly, he's not following the law now. The law requires him to appear for a deposition. We have requested it. It's not questionable whether or not he has to comply. Not only do I think we need to hold him in contempt, I think we should send the sergeant of arms after him. That's an authority that Congress has. I think we he won't have to go too far because he's clearly in the city.
Welcome back to another round here, round three. Phil, ring the bell. And welcome back to Stand and Fight, SR1 Sundays, Newstalk STL, and Big Perm himself is still here for one more segment, Eric Michael, before he has to go tear the world up and fight for liberty, justice, and whatever else the hell you're doing. But I don't know if you heard who that was. That was Senator Eric Burleson discussing the disgusting person himself, Hunter Biden, the guy that films himself with a crack pipe, with hookers, but yet he came to Washington, D.C. He didn't go into his deposition. He stood feet away from the Capitol where he was supposed to be and said, "Oh, well, poor me. Poor me. They're attacking me like they attacked my father. They're coming after me for no reason whatsoever. Let me see if I can find this this audio from him." But did you see the clip that someone, the pictures that he would take of himself?
The one with the scarf.
With the scarf, the pink scarf around his neck.
Oh my gosh. Whoever made that, they're a genius. I could not stop laughing when I was watching that. And when I saw the original, like, I'd never actually heard Hunter speak before. I've only seen all the pictures of him being cracked out of his mind, you know, sitting there with hookers. And the weirdest part, though, there are pictures that have been validated. He's, you know, he's got like this little girl in like a bikini or like lingerie or something, like, and he's naked. Like, you have all of this evidence, and yet he's standing there, you know, lying through his fake teeth because he had to have his other cracked teeth replaced. Lying to the American people, like, this is just some witch hunt.
And all that's verifiable. Yeah, all that all was on the
all of it.
The laptop.
And yeah, that's the laptop that the government colluded with social media to suppress that story, because there was reports that they said, yeah, that was enough. By suppressing that, it swung enough people that allowed them to vote for Biden. Had they shown that that was actually true, those people would not have voted for Biden. They would have voted for Trump. So that in and of itself swung a national election. And
well, talking about swinging.
Oh,
remember the Russian dossier that Adam Schiff, Pencil Neck, and all those liberals, Liz Cheney, were coming out talking about the disgusting allegations that were in this dossier. Well, who paid for it?
Hillary.
Hillary Clinton.
I don't feel no ways like, tired.
Those are the disgusting things that they put, the Democrats put in front of the American people to sway the election. But here's what Hunter Biden had to say when he disobeyed the order to come in.
Displayed naked photos of me during an oversight hearing. And they have taken the light of my dad's love. The light of my dad's love for me and presented it as darkness. They have no shame.
All the things that you just said about the guy laying in bed with hookers and blow, with children.
Yeah.
Like driving around in his dad's little hot rod, the same house where that's parked in. You had all those private records, those classified documents.
When he was only the vice president.
Well, that's what I'm getting. Like, he still kept it, though, when he was president.
Absolutely.
He had his documents in pen when he was still president. But yet they're saying, well, we can't impeach him because he did all that stuff. But he continued doing them when he was president.
Yeah, if it's bad to do when you're president, as you saw, I mean, they raided, you know, Trump's home, and it was behind a padlocked door.
Yeah, behind a padlocked door.
And they knew it was there.
Full security.
Everything. And yet you're going to what? You're going to have all of these documents in a garage where a known crackhead and what appears to be pedophile.
And he's been charged now with what, like 4, 5, 6? No, I think it's like up to like 12 different felonies.
Absolutely.
He's got the tax stuff. He's got the gun stuff, lying to the federal government.
On that, what, the gun doc or the...
Yeah, the 4473.
Yeah. I can never remember that name, but...
The only reason I remember it is because when I worked in Cabela's in the gun library, we dealt with it so many times.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, okay. What form? The 4473.
Okay, so you just saw this form
every day.
All the time.
Many times a day. And contacted the federal government. That's why when the Democrats in our capital want to talk about, we need background checks. It's like, you never bought a gun?
Exactly. They do that.
Even if you go to a gun show, because that's the next... Well, that's at a store. That's when you have to contact the FBI, ATF to do these background checks, but not at the gun show. Yes, at the gun show.
Yeah.
If you sell a gun to somebody that you are not related to or have that connection to, and you're at a gun show as a dealer, yes, you will have to do the 4473.
And the gun restrictions that they're trying to do, who do you think is going to
enforce that?
Yeah. And who's it going to affect? You think it's going to
the people?
Yeah. All of the crazy psychos that are going out doing all of these gun related crimes, if they're willing to commit murder, you think all of a sudden they're going to stop because there's a new gun law?
Well, that's what Big Perm Tashara Jones said a couple months back when the Post Disgrace actually, I think it was a Post Dispatch, got access to her text messages. And she was telling her dad, she was telling her political confidants that, yeah, that gun control crap in Chicago, it's not doing anything because it's only impacting the law-abiding citizens that won't break the law anyways. The law-abiding citizens aren't going to go out and shoot up schools or shoot up people in a drive-by shooting or rob people or carjack. Those are the criminals that shouldn't have guns in the first place.
If it's only stopping the law-abiding citizens and it's restricting their rights, it's slowing down then their rights to bear arms. The people that are going to be using, what do you think they're going to be using them for?
Has anyone had a gun? Has anyone made a gun that looks like a bear's arm?
That makes like, looks like what?
Like a bear's arm.
No. What would you call it? The bear claw?
The bear's arm.
The bear's arm?
The right to this bear's arm.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
But where's Phil? Good on the drum set. But back to the whole Hunter escapade. I mean, there are a lot of people that are excited about this official inquiry opening up. But let me go back to a couple days before that, because I didn't think he was going to show up. I didn't think he was going to be at the steps of the Capitol like he did so brazenly because of what happened the week before. And even the liberal lunatic news media was reporting this on CNN just a week before.
Anderson, I have the indictment right here. It's voluminous. It's 56 pages. But in going through this, the Justice Department details the allegations supporting these 9 counts that they have filed against Hunter Biden. They include 3 felony tax offenses and 6 misdemeanor tax offenses. Now, to put that in context, Hunter Biden was hoping to resolve this investigation by pleading guilty to just two misdemeanors. But here, the Justice Department is alleging that he engaged in a four-year scheme in which they say he chose not to pay at least $1.4 million in self-assessed federal taxes he owed between 2016 and 2019. And then they also accuse him of trying to evade the assessment of taxes for 2018 when he filed false returns.
Let me just pause it right there, because the clip goes on, and that's on Anderson Cooper, of all people. Hmm. That's who is reporting this, and this is a federal court out of California. So you put all this together. This is the Biden administration's DOJ. This is a liberal wing of the federal government, and you've got them coming after Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden comes out saying all that crap that this exploratory committee, that this oversight committee was digging up on me is fake. But if that was true, why is he being charged with all of the things that the Oversight Committee has said that he's done? Not all of them. There's still plenty more out there, like the pedophile crackhead.
I'm sure that they're still trying to find, corroborating evidence to support those claims. But, I mean, the pictures
or
alone...
Or a prosecutor to charge them.
Yeah, that's true. And I'm wondering, too, with what do you think is going to happen? If all of this goes down before Biden is out of office, let's just assume that his term's done. What do you think is going to happen? Nothing's going to happen. He'll, even if he gets convicted on all accounts.
But do you think he will?
They'll probably, I think what they'll do is they'll find
a plea deal.
Guilty.
He'll get a pardon.
Yeah, he'll get, absolutely. He'll at the end of it, no matter what, he'll get the pardon, and then he'll walk away, him and his, and then once, I'm wondering if they're going to include all of these things in the investigation, the business dealings with Joe Biden. And then once those get done, and then they, what, the double jeopardy laws, now all of a sudden it's like, no, that information was already, that went through trial process and all that good stuff.
Well, that's why.
So now they can't look at Joe Biden for any of this stuff.
Congress, to me, and, you know, we've reported it on this show for months, the different components of the Republicans trying to come after and open up this these articles of impeachment, and then nothing ever happens. I think Congresswoman Luna had something, maybe Marjorie Taylor Greene had something, but I remember this in the news specifically just months ago. And finally, they're doing this close enough to the election, the same election, which I don't know if you've seen gas prices lately. You know why they're dropping?
Probably to make it look better for
domestic drilling.
Domestic. Oh, so
look at the domestic drilling charts. Huh. Go look it up, and you will see that over the past couple months, they've been drilling, baby, drilling, which shows to me that is another Trump policy. Yes. That you were admitting that he was right. But back to Congress being embarrassment, they can't get a damn thing of substance done. The Democrats or the Republicans, they can't get anything done. They keep spending our money, keep allowing more and more and more to go to Ukraine, to all these other gender studies, all the crap that we showed last week where our money is going. They keep letting Biden unlawfully send us further into this war that's avoidable. And now we're talking about this laptop. I mean, in the documents in there, we should have opened up those articles of impeachment when we knew that the FBI and the federal government was colluding with the Democrat Party to shut that thing down. When we knew that it was real and those documents were verifiable, that's when we should have opened it up.
And right now, the fact that all this information's been out, it's enough to where people have heard about it for, what, the last 3.5 years now? I think it came out, what, October of election year, right?
2020.
People have known about it. It's been verified. Same thing with the Ashley Biden diary. They see the contents in the diary. And yet they want to go after Trump. Well, oh, he's such a bad, bad man. Really? Why is he bad? Because the news media
says.
Yeah. They can't give you anything. And yet you can give them, you know, a list a mile long of all the reasons why this person, if anything, regardless of your morals, your standards, whatever, you can see there's a trail. There's a list of all of these things that detail how corrupt he is, the treason that he's committed, you know, the fact that he's using the Department of Justice now to go after his political rivals. I mean, he's doing everything that they did in Nazi Germany.
And fascism. Yeah,
and they're trying to put it on us like we are the bad people. You impeached Trump because he made a phone call, and yet you're watching on live video, or not live anymore, but on video, where he's actually having people fired using his position of power. You have all these text messages, all these voicemails, all these emails, like a list of evidence to support their claims, when all the Trump stuff was just, it was all BS anyway.
Right.
You found out the Steele dossier. That was just paid for and orchestrated. They broke all these laws. They bypassed, you know, and circumvented all of the rules and everything. And all of that's fake. And yet, here we are. We're still in the same thing where they're still trying to oh, it's Russia, Russia, Russia. But it's not Russia. And then you find out the guy
it's
that
Chinooka.
Was... It's Chinooka. Yeah, it's Chinooka. But there was a guy that he was actually the one... Oh, gosh, I can't remember his name now. But he was just sentenced to 4 years in prison because he actually colluded in Russia. And he was one of the big people that was like behind that investigation, you know, to prove that Trump had collusion with Russia. You're seeing all these oligarchs in you know, out of Russia paying Hunter Biden, going to all these shell accounts and have backdoor things to his family and 10% to the big guy. You have all of the stuff that they're going after Trump for, and yet Biden's done worse, and yet you turn a blind eye to it. So when the American people see this and then they're like, yeah, this isn't right, they immediately, yeah, but what about Trump? What about Trump? Let's just play devil's advocate. Let's just say Trump's guilty of those things that you've indicted him for. Well, what about Hunter Biden? What about Joe Biden?
What about
then?
Joe?
What about all of these things that you have obvious evidence for? Things that have already been corroborated, everything that's been verified, vindicated, all of these sources. You've had all these whistleblowers, all the, you know, the testimony, affidavits, everything. You have actual evidence to support all of these claims. And just like you said, they're sitting there on their hands. They're, you know, twiddling their thumbs. Nothing's being done.
Well, it's a straw man argument. They keep wanting you to look over here. Look at Trump, and don't look at all of the bad crap that is happening in our world today under Democrat control. They don't want you to see that Biden had topless transgenders at the White House. They don't want you to see that there's sexcapades going on in Senate hearing rooms when they were the ones saying, like, to your point earlier, you desecrated the sacred ground, which is the Capitol. Like, don't look at what is going on in the world as we're burning, as we're going into World War III. Look at what Trump did. He's the bad guy.
Yeah.
It makes no sense to me. I mean,
no.
Why does the media, and again, if we're going to have a fair and biased media, they're not going to stand for that crap.
No.
They're going to say, okay, great. Yeah, I hear you. You don't like the guy. But what about your guy? Mm-hmm. What about the Democrat control that we have today that has skyrocketed damn near everything?
Yeah.
I mean, even look at this new game that has come out. I forget the guy's name. I'll find it here in a second. But The Price Is Rising. Have you seen that?
Oh, yeah.
I think it was a C3P meme had AI redo The Price Is Right to have this beauty roll out.
Welcome to The Price Is Rising, where you guess how much the cost of common household goods has changed during my appointments. Because guess what? It's working. All those chicken breasts for years ago, and you could get that for a dollar. How much do you think they cost now?
$5.15, Crypt Keeper.
$8.40. $10.60.
$8.44, Chip is correct. Wait, it just went up to the 1060.
Stand and fight with Nick Schroer. Stand and fight with Nick Schroer.
I come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy. I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me.
On a school night.
Welcome back to another round here on SR1 Sunday's Newstalk STL. I am the notorious Nick Schroer, and Big Worm, Eric Michael has left the building. But as promised, I have a very special guest, a good friend of mine, a Marine. Once a Marine, you're always a Marine. Once a state rep, you want to elevate to the Senate side to actually get things done. And he's doing just that. He's making moves. He's the new founder of part of the founding fathers, but the new chairman of the Freedom Caucus, Rick Bratton. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me, Nick. It's great to be on your show.
Yeah, we've had a grueling past couple weeks. I was illustrating to the people back at home what we've been doing the past couple weeks. And, you know, December is a crazy month. You've got the pre-filing. I've got to wrap up business for, you know, the general counsel gig that I have with Rick Pogue. But we also had some different meetings, the ALEC conventions. We were able to kind of bring together the working relationships and business world with some of the stuff that we're doing now that has been unveiled with the Freedom Caucus. Can you give us a little bit of background history? Because you were in the House with Eric Burleson, now congressman and the only member of the Freedom Caucus in D.C. from Missouri, Paul Kirtman, good friend of Newstalk STL, and you guys saw the writing on the wall when Tim Jones was getting ready to leave. And now he's kind of leading us with this PAC, but before, or with this Freedom Caucus. But before we get into that, can you kind of discuss, you know, you've seen war as a Marine. You've now have seen the disgust with politics. You guys formed the Conservative Caucus. Why did you do that back then?
Well, we did that because, well, I was elected in 2010, so a long time ago, but that was during the Tea Party wave. And, you know, when I came in as a freshman legislator, I honestly was kind of naive to the thought that, hey, we are all elected as Republicans. We're going to join arms and, you know, we're going to fight this battle to take this country back and to expand the conservative ideology to really bring back freedom and liberty and cut taxes and do everything that the people that elected us think that we're supposed to be doing. But when I got there with our kind of band of brothers, we realized really quick that that was not the case. The Republicans were going along to get along, working with Democrats, utilizing Democrats to advance positions. And it was a really big eye-opening experience that, you know, not every Republican is actually a Republican. And it became a kind of a calling cry to actually, if we're going to advance conservatism, we have to, you know, find out who our allies are. And we've got to really press forward and advance the message and the cause. And I mean, it was a big uphill battle. We took a lot of flack and it's amazing the hatred that comes from within our own party. You know, when you actually expose them for who they are, that they're not a conservative, they're not a Republican, they're not, you know, standing for freedom and liberty. And man, it creates a world of hate and vitriol, and they love to demonize. They've got the media on their side, and I think people see that currently of what's going on in Washington and here in the state of Missouri.
But, and you guys did a lot of good before I came in. I came in 2017, was elected in 2016, started serving. So you were there 7 years before I even got there. And you guys did a lot of good with constitutional carry, you know, different tax cuts, you name it. There's a lot of good stuff that happened. And you could even see how effective the Conservative Caucus was. But it seems like over time, the swamp, the establishment, even our own party, as you've mentioned, was able to kind of cut us down and pick some of the people off. You go over into the Senate, you're part of the Conservative Caucus then. Can you explain why this past year a decision was made to kind of disband the Conservative Caucus that the Senate had and absorb it back into just the mainstream Republican Party?
Well, we had, you know, new conservatives come into the Senate. The Conservative Caucus had really stirred the pot quite heavily for the first couple of years that I was in the Senate. And then with that election cycle, we thought that we were going to be, well, we had you come in. We knew you were going to be that staunch freedom fighter. But we had high hopes for others that were going to come in and kind of do the same thing and be a part of our coalition. So there really, we were hoping there wouldn't be a need for having to have that Conservative Caucus. We'd be able to actually become the Republicans that people elected us to be and be a united Republican caucus. Well, unfortunately, with that disbanding, just kind of emboldened the swamp to really retaliate against us and to marginalize us. And it didn't go as we had hoped and as we had planned by any stretch. And I think with the frustration that we saw this last year, I know you felt and feel the same way. We're like, we can't do this any longer. And that's where when the thought or the idea of the Freedom Caucus wanting to be a part of Missouri and us being that coalition, it was really kind of music to our ears and to know that, you know, a national organization was seeking out the true believers in conservatism and constitutional rights and freedoms and liberties wanted to come to us and to form this band of brothers to fight the fight.
We're talking with Senator Rick Bratton from the 31st District, representing Bates, Cass, and Johnson counties, other side of the state for these News Talk STL listeners. But yeah, now that we're on the topic of the Freedom Caucus, to your point, this was a third party. We've all heard of Jim Jordan, Chip Roy, Byron Donalds, and the good people that we've mentioned already on this show today. But that's the National Freedom Caucus. Its sister, you know, established a State Freedom Caucus network to leak out to the different states. What number are we? We're like number 12 that's launching off. And what is the importance of having that big network of patriots behind us in 11 other states and in D.C.? What is that going to bring to the table in fighting the good fight here back at home?
We are the 12th state to come along the Freedom Caucus network. I believe what it brings is a real notoriety. People know the Freedom Caucus is fighting the fight. They've actually been there. They've done that. They know the schemes and the gimmicks and all the games that the rhinos play. And they're able to help combat that. And, you know, this allows us to rise above all the pettiness and all the individual politics that the Swamp and Jeff City loves to play. They love to marginalize individuals. Well, I think coming alongside and a group like the Freedom Caucus, it honestly becomes kind of like Teflon, where they're not going to be able to really marginalize us, say, hey, this is just so-and-so's, you know, axe to grind with the Speaker Pro Tem or what have you. No, this is a legitimate, you know, proven group that is advancing freedom and liberty and takes no prisoners in their approaches, is now a part of Missouri. And we're going to develop that, work with grassroots. I'm extremely excited, and I know many people are, but many people in Jeff City are not. So it's going to be a real uphill battle to get our, start the charging of the hill.
Yeah. So one of the things that happened when it was kind of established that there will be a Freedom Caucus, that, you know, you're taking the lead. We've got Justin Sparks, Mazie Christensen, Jill Carter, and a whole bunch of other legislators that are part of this. When the news broke and you had other legislators saying, hey, I want to be part of this. I want the Freedom Caucus to look at my voting record too. All of a sudden, like you've indicated, you had the news media and you had Republicans actually trying to divide us and attack us and demean us on a school choice issue. How important is passing school choice, emboldening parents to make the right decisions and use their constitutional rights to send their kid and their tax dollars to whatever institution is best for them? How important is that going to be to the Freedom Caucus here? And what are the chances that we're actually going to get something done this year on that topic?
Well, I think it's the chances are fantastic, but this is a pillar of conservatism and freedom and liberty. I mean, as we've seen from COVID, especially, you know, the exposure of this leftist ideology that's pouring throughout all of education, this indoctrination centers that they've all honestly become, we realize the need to be able to have the capability to get our kids out of this nonsense that's going on in school districts. And to me, there's no other, honestly, bigger issue that we can address other than allowing kids to get out of these hostile environments that are hostile to our constitutional republic, to our values and beliefs that we hold near and dear, that this very country was predicated upon. I mean, they're sexualizing demoralizing our movement roots as a nation. I mean, they're saying our country is virtually the most racist and hate-filled country in the history of this world, and then nothing could be further from the truth. And I'm going kind of down that rabbit trail because a nation cannot stand if its youth and this next generation is taught and you know, believes that what we have is wrong and unjust and everything that it's not. So that's why it is so imperative that we fight this fight.
You know, I was driving in today and I was thinking about just other nations, and you know, you look at China or India and what, you know, the intelligence that they're producing, these kids coming out of school that are ready to just start their own business or create new products. And I'm sitting there thinking, in these countries, in any country, aside from the United States, where is it where is it good and acceptable that we're going to teach you to hate your country, to hate people based upon the color of their skin? How the hell did we get here? I mean, when we talk about the Freedom Caucus and we talk about this is a dogfight we're in. We don't need statesmen anymore. We need people that are going to go to the front line and preserve this republic, because this is that generation that is standing in the gap to ensure freedom and liberty and justice for all is going to remain free in the United States.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, it's a true fight. The time for being plain nice and with kid, you know, kid gloves, that time is over. That the left has made quite clear what their objective is. You know, if somebody shows who they are, believe them and act accordingly. And when we're talking about our children, I have five kids. I know you have kids, and I'm their protector. I also, as a senator, I'm a protector of 6 million people's children here in this state to protect them and you know, everything that makes us great. So this is a fight that we have to take to them, not just stand idly by and hope that we get some good stuff done, you know, and kind of barely with a crumb here and there advance this. No, this is we have to, you know, at all costs.
I'm glad that we have a Marine, and I corrected myself earlier today when I was leading up to your interview. I said he's a former Marine, and then I stopped. My grandpa was a Marine, and I said, well, once a Marine, always a Marine. So I'm glad that we have somebody coming to the front lines with us, leading this Freedom Caucus by the name of Rick Bratton. Now, Rick, you were running for re-election. I know we've only got about 3 or 4 minutes left, so if we spill over into another segment, I'm okay as long as you and the campaign trail can do that. But some of the bills that you've pre-filed in December are hardcore conservative bills. We've got stuff relating to education, to the Second Amendment, foreign ownership of land, illegal aliens. Can you talk a little bit about what you have done as a state senator now that you've been there for 4 years, and what you were planning to do with these bills that you have filed in December?
Yeah, I mean, That's what's great about this caucus. Hopefully we'll be able to really advance, you know, things like school choice. I like to file the, what they call the unicorn bills, you know, the best type of, you know, policy you can hopefully dream of. That's what I try to do, with educational choice. I mean, it's basically a full on tax credit. I know conservatives here like tax credit, and they're like, oh man, oh, tax credits are No, this is for you to be able to take your tax liability and to be able to actually get what's sent to the state for your kids' education. You're able to get that back in a tax format as a refund and invest that into your kids' education. So it's basically a voucher system that's just done in an easier, craftier way to where, you know, the government doesn't meddle its hands in your educational choice. With our Second Amendment, with constitutional amendments or constitutional rights in general, the only way we're able to protect that is our Second Amendment. And what we saw with like the McCloskeys, you're guilty until you're proven innocent, and you have to prove your innocence. Well, that's completely an upending of our justice system. So I've got a bill that would make it to where the government, if they're going to bring a case against you, they have to prove your guilt, not you have to prove your innocence. And so those are just a couple things that we're touching on. And we have a myriad of other things that we have to address. I know are huge issues. There's honestly not enough time a day during a part-time legislature to get all the necessary items done. We're going to do everything we can to advance every bit of it.
Well, we will be right back with State Senator Rick Bratton, the chairman of the board, so to speak, the chairman of the Freedom Caucus, which will be taking the fight to the liberals, to the rhinos, to the establishment in 2024. But stick with us, hear from our sponsors, go buy all their good stuff, and keep standing, keep fighting. We'll be right back.
Stand and Fight with Nick Schroer.
Welcome back to round 5, Phil, ring the bell for the good people back at home. And we are still joined by a good friend of mine, the chairman of the board, the president, the chairman of the Freedom Caucus, which has been newly formed, and the swamp is shaking in their boots. A senator from the 31st, Rick Bratton, thanks for sticking with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Dude, I am looking at your bills, and quite frankly, this is the first time that I've looked at pre-filed bills, aside from mine, and aside from some of the Democrats and the most egregious ones. You've got some good ones here, and we talked a little bit about the Senate Bill 770, which is a big school choice bill, and you are actually the vice chairman of the elementary secondary education, the elementary school choice bill. What the hell is it called? The committee that we have?
Workforce development.
Well, aren't you on education?
I am. Yes, I'm the vice chair of education, and I think it's now expanded to education and workforce development, I think is what it was.
So you haven't been removed yet since the announcement of the Freedom Caucus, have you?
Well, not yet.
Well, you said this earlier about, you know, when you guys created the Conservative Caucus, which you really didn't have the backing of a national organization. You didn't have this vetting of a national organization. And you said how, you know, Republicans, the media, everybody was coming after you. I was talking to my wife about this because I was illustrating how reactions on social media were just driving me nuts. And it's Republicans attacking other Republicans. And she said, well, don't you all stand for the same thing? What would your reaction have been? What would your response be to constituents that are saying, well, why are Republicans getting mad at Freedom Caucus members if you all claim to stand for tax cuts, Second Amendment, pro-life, the list goes on, the party platform?
Well, I think, you know, during campaign season, oh, yeah, everybody's going to say that they're, you know, a Republican, and they're going to put all that stuff on their nice, shiny, glossy mail that hits your mailbox. But in terms of the rubber meeting the road, it's a drastic contrast. I mean, where you have people that, you know, said they're fighting to cut your taxes, but in reality, behind the scenes, what they're doing is fighting and combating against any tax cut whatsoever. They love to spend your money like it's monopoly money. They love to you know, continue to embolden the educational establishment and fight against anything to do with choice and you know, your capability as a parent to do what's right. I mean, the list goes on and on. I mean, I can honestly say that the vast majority of a lot of those that call themselves Republicans but are really the rhinos would probably 20 years ago would have ran unashamed as a Democrat.
Right.
But they realize that they can't get elected as a Democrat in today's world. Why? Because the Democrats have literally lost the reservation and they're back on a crazy. So now they have to run as a Republican, well, still carrying the ideals of the Democrat Party, the Blue Dog Democrat Party of yesteryear. So that's in my opinion, that's the real true crux of the matter, is we have people claiming to be something and they govern the opposite of what they campaign on.
And what do you think they're afraid of? I mean, when you've got people that are campaigning, and we call them campaign conservatives because they campaign on school choice, they campaign on tax cuts, they campaign on things like, you know, when I had the heartbeat bill, you were in the Senate, I was in the House, 2019, we had the heartbeat. Well, I think you were elected in 2020, correct?
2020. So I was.
You were in Cass County.
Yep, that's right.
So, I mean, then we're getting told by Republicans, you can't pass this all encompassing, you know, like you said, the unicorn bill. I call it the Hail Mary. You can't actually get this done. Well, why? Why can't we get it done?
It's because they don't want to get it done. And they get so angry with us because we expose that you expose the fact that they're a phony, a fraud, they're a liar to the people that elected them, that they do stand for those issues. When in reality, they don't. They lied through their teeth that they were going to do these things on the campaign trail. So I think that's it. It's the exposure. It's the light on the real situation and the crux of the matter is that they're actually not Republican at all.
Well, I think the promise of the Freedom Caucus, if anything, we're going to promise that we're going to have a vote. We're going to bring up the topics that we've all claimed as Republicans to support. We're going to vote on tax cuts. We're going to vote on cutting the budget and cutting spending. We're going to vote on initiative petition reform. And you're damn right, we're going to vote on school choice. But let me go back to your pre-filed bills, because there's one here. We don't need to get in the nitty-gritty because, I mean, heck, you filed about 15, just like me. A lot of good things. But this one in particular, I want to concentrate on. It's Senate Bill 949, creates the offense of engaging in an adult cabaret performance. Describe what that bill is focusing on.
So that's dealing with the drag shows that were going on with children. So we have all over the state. I had it in my district, especially where we had drag queens having all ages drag shows for kids, and no one was willing. Even though, honestly, within statutes, it's already illegal to do, but you had your police departments and all these people, because it wasn't explicitly clear in the law, they didn't want to you know, engage. So this is going to make it crystal clear to where we don't have drag queens doing strip teases while little 4 and 5 year olds are stuffing dollar bills into their G-strings. And I kid you not, it happened right here in Kansas City at a chicken and pickle, where little kids are stuffing dollar bills into these sick, twisted, demented pedophiles.
That gives a new meaning to that name, chicken and pickle, then.
Yeah, exactly. And the fact that this is an issue. I mean, honestly,
right.
Did you ever think 5 years ago you'd actually even have to file bills like this, or that it would be actually controversial to put a stop to these, you know, psychopaths wanting to do this in front of kids?
Well, I think 10 years ago, we had Democrats that wouldn't stand for this. You had Democrats that would actually join you hand in hand saying, leave our friggin' kids alone.
That's right. Well, I was one of the first to do the bathroom bills to sponsor one.
Yeah.
And I was told then by the left that I'm just in wacko land, that this isn't happening, this isn't an issue, this will never occur. And here we are, fast forward, and now I'm the crazy one for trying to stop, or we are the crazy ones for trying to stop this.
Yeah.
So I just see, if I see something and I realize that it needs to be addressed, I have no issue whatsoever of you know, putting it out there to put a stop to it. I mean, because these are, again, it's all in that same thread, the sexualization of our kids or the indoctrination of our kids. It's all in the same thread of the left trying to undermine you as a parent and as a nation. I don't want to, you know, I know, don't want to seem like I'm conspiratorial, but it's not conspiratorial, because they're quite out in the open of this is their attempt and their approach. So we have to combat that. And that's what I love with the Freedom Caucuses. We're going to be able to brand with a national framework to combat that. And they have that megaphone. They have the resources to come alongside us to stop the capability of what the swamp will do is try to marginalize. We'll be able to rise above that and call them out for the phonies and the frauds that they are. And I can't wait.
Well, we saw it just this past week with the announcement, the unveiling that the Freedom Caucus is here. When certain Republican members started trying to fight back and accuse us of being anti-school choice, which, look at all of the different school choice bills that have been filed. They're all Freedom Caucus members. But, you know, we saw the megaphone that the Freedom Caucus had, and what it was like, 70 something thousand different views, which I don't think any of us had, aside from the flamethrower incident. But I mean, that is the type of manpower, and that's the, you know, bring the troops in. If you want to bring a fight to us, and it's a freedom fight. It's on the front that the people want to see addressed. This is a good fight that you want to get behind the Freedom Caucus on. But if you want to get in the way, you've got a steamroller full of the American people that are pissed off. And I'm glad that you're leading the fight.
Well, and I'm glad you're a part of the fight. And, you know, this is not, you know, me carrying out my will. And you know, being a part of a transition here in the state of Missouri to where people think they're electing supermajorities to do big things, to advance these issues, and we're going to do it. And you know, we have, you know, the saying of speak softly, carry big stick. Hey, we're going to carry a big stick, but we're not going to be speaking softly. We're going to be speaking from a microphone as well, a megaphone. And I can't wait to do it. This is why I wanted to be elected and run to begin with. I have five kids. When I first was elected, my oldest was in second grade. She's now 22, about to get married. My oldest son's active duty Marine Corps. And I want to preserve what I know he's fighting for. Amen. And what, you know, all these veterans and all these people are willing to lay down their lives for the cause of freedom. And I don't want to see it to go, you know, go down the tubes right underneath our noses. You know, and I don't want to leave my family, and stand idly by while we watch all this charade go on in Jefferson City. If I'm going to leave my family and do this, by God, it's going to be worth the time that we're spending away from our family to advance this. And I know you feel the same way about that. And I think this is the only way we're going to be able to do that.
Well, we're talking to Senator Rick Bratton from the 31st District. He is up for re-election this next year. We're focusing on a couple of his bills. And you just mentioned your son. I saw the pictures. He's standing side by side with you, a Marine. He's joining the Marines. And on the topic of our national defense, you've got a bill dealing with illegal aliens. It's a Senate Bill 1138, modifies provisions relating to illegal aliens coming into our nation. We've heard the topic on our side of the state of St. Louis wanting to bring in these illegal immigrants that are not being vetted by way of this expanded, unlawfully expanded parole program. So I'm going to have a couple bills on that myself. So explain to the people back at home what this bill modifies when dealing with illegal immigrants.
You know, a lot of it has to do with the sanctuary aspects, also the hiring aspects of illegal immigrants. I think if you turn off a lot of the spigot that feeds the want and desire to come to America and do that, we have to address those problems. Now, that's where you I filed the E-Verify bill actually since 2010. I own a construction company. My family's been in construction literally since the 40s. And I've seen this transition and this overtaking of the entire construction trade by illegal immigration. So it's not like just in these past few years I've decided to start, you know, fighting the illegal immigration issue. This has been something that's been hitting, you know, my family and my pocketbook for years and years and years. So that's my approach in this is try to, you know, cut the head off the snake, you know, stop trying to grab the tail. I think doing so by the prosecution of those who are hiring those illegally, is one way to go about it. So looking forward to try to advance it. The Chamber of Commerce, they, are the first to basically put the death knell to it.
Ain't that something?
It's amazing just how much they're opposed to anything that we really advance, honestly.
Well, I mean, you look at where they've come from, and I'm general counsel for small businesses, and you've got the Chamber of Commerce that's standing with Medicaid expansion, allowing for a man to walk into a woman's bathroom without being without your superior saying, well, wait a second, we've got rules on this. If you've got a thing, you go into that bathroom. And if you're a female, you go into here. But the thing that I like about you, and you kind of said this, you've been filing these things for years. You've been addressing them. You've been passing good legislation. You've been killing the bad legislation. We're talking to Senator Rick Bratton from the 31st District. He is up for re-election in the Bates, Cass, Johnson County area. Got about 2 minutes left. Describe what goes into this re-election effort, how people can find out what you're doing, a website, how they can donate, and hit those doors with you back at home.
Well, yeah, I mean, you kind of touched on it. It's getting people engaged and helping to protect this seat. I've got two people that are now two state reps that are primarying that think that they're going to do a better job, you know. But to me, I don't think that sports gambling is the number one issue of this state. You know, if I was king for a day, it sure as heck wouldn't be to advance sports betting. It would be to protect our kids and to protect our Constitution at all costs. But if people want to go to our website, it's rickbratton.com, and help out in any way, shape, or form with your time, your talent, your treasure, whatever you can help us with to keep fighting this fight. I only have one term left that I'm able to serve in either chamber. So my time will be up before we know it. And that's where, you know, passing that baton on to guys like you to where you're leading the charge and the fight as you are. But, you know, you happen to take up the slack of those who are, you know, moving on. But I'm looking forward to it and would love anyone's help if you could. You can like us on Facebook, on Twitter, Rick Bratton. And, man, it's been great to be on with you and, you know, value your friendship and everything that you do, especially like this radio show where you're able to be that, you know, clanging cymbal that's got to be out there.
Rick, God bless you. Spend some time with family before we head back January 3rd. We'll be back with the last segment here on SR1 Sunday's News Talk STL. Keep fighting.
Stand and fight with Nick Schroer. Stand and fight with Nick Schroer.
On Fox Business exclusive. U.S. Customs and Border Protection are warning Border Patrol agents to be on the lookout for explosive devices after the Mexican military seized 10 IEDs at the southern border. Fox Business's Hillary Vaughn breaking the news right now from Capitol Hill. Hillary.
Good morning. Well, that's right. The Border Patrol agents are being warned to be on the lookout for these improvised explosive devices after the Mexican military seized 10 IEDs from the Mexico side of the U.S.-Mexico border. A federal law enforcement source shared with us the officer safety alert that went out to CBP agents this week, warning them to be careful and vigilant. The alert reads this, quote, agents should exercise extreme caution and should report any possible armed subjects approaching the border with possible explosive devices. This incident happened on Wednesday. Border Patrol agents basically stumbled upon a cartel turf war gunfight near the Tres Palates Ranch east of the Sasabe port of entry, which is in Pima County, Arizona. They arrested a person on the U.S. side of the border who was armed with a loaded AK-47 rifle, two loaded AK magazines, loose rounds, and a handgun. That person told them there were 11 armed suspects nearby. Agents heard gunfire coming from the Mexico side, pulled back to a safer area. The Mexican military responded. That's when they found the 10 explosive devices filled with black powder and shrapnel. My law enforcement source says this ranch has a gap in the border fence that is typically used in the past to funnel drugs through, but now it's a magnet for the cartel to push people through. So this gunfight was essentially a gang war trying to fight for control over this gap in the fence. My source says this gap was just a spot in the border wall that was never completed. And it also goes to show just how increasingly dangerous it is for our law enforcement agents on the border, but also how lucrative human smuggling is for the cartel, that they're willing to have these gunfights over small gaps in the fence.
Build that wall. Welcome back to Stand and Fight. I am Nick Schroer. Man, it's been a heck of a ride, and this, I guess it's the last show before Christmas. That's what our good friend, Big Perm, Big Worm, Eric Michael told us tonight.
I don't even know what Chinooka is.
So for all of those getting ready for Christmas shopping, I do want to say beware. Beware, there have been many stories in our neck of the woods, in St. Louis, St. Charles, the surrounding areas of possible abductions, possible carjackings, I guess you want to say, that have given rise to police looking out, citizens sounding off on message boards on Facebook and Twitter. But I will say, now closer to the border that Joe Biden should have finished the wall, finished the job that Trump was doing, but instead he's selling off all of these materials. And we see what's happening. We see drugs getting funneled in. We see human trafficking, even in St. Charles County, human trafficking, sex trafficking, people being sold off into slavery. And the list goes on with all of the different people that are being found on the terror watch list at the border, the issues at the Canadian border now of people coming in. The numbers are insane. And when Democrat Senator John Fetterman, who had a stroke and all and needed a teleprompter on the campaign trail, is able to get it right. And you've got members of the squad and progressives that are saying, no, let's just let all these people in. Something is awry. When John Fetterman is the voice of reason for the Democrat Party, holy cow, that tells you a lot about where their priorities are. But closer to the border in Arizona, This was a, I think, CBS News clip that is talking about possible abductions. And watch out if you're a female.
And tonight, the FBI is now on the case after several attempted abductions, all of them involving young women being followed at the University of Arizona. Here's ABC's Doreen Shaw tonight.
Tonight, the University of Arizona on edge after the attempted abductions of three female college students in the last week.
UAPD is enhancing its patrol capabilities. We're working hard to saturate the campus within the area and outside the area.
And that just goes to show you, even Arizona is starting to get this right. Saturate the streets with police and it deters crime. These criminals are cowards. Whether you're an American criminal, an illegal alien that's coming in trying to behead people like they've done in France, like they've done in Ireland. These criminals are cowards. And when you see either the police out there or you see the militia, when you see Americans exerting their rights, saying F-A-F-O, well, in layman's terms, mess around and find out. These investigations into why this is all happening now point to one thing: our porous border. Well, here's another story for you. Another news story, not here locally, but a local news story in another state talking about how the drug trafficking issue and the fentanyl that's going everywhere is now impacting our kids. When I say kids, I'm not talking about the 16, 17 year olds that might be going to parties and exposed to drugs. I'm talking about little kids, elementary school, eating gummy bears and candy that are being laced with this crap.
Tonight, shock inside an elementary school after residue from the highly lethal drug fentanyl was found inside a bag filled with gummy bears and shared by fourth graders.
The fentanyl came from somebody's house, right? And so we need to wake up as a county and as a community to realize that these things are real, these things are happening.
Two suspects, Clifford Dugan and Nicole Sanders, were arrested early this morning in connection to the incident. Both face charges, including contributing to the delinquency of a minor.
We don't feel this is an intentional event, but we are continuing our investigation.
Police say five students were taken to the hospital.
We feel hot, we feel nauseous.
Including fourth grader Hayden Floyd. The 10-year-old said he ate 10 gummies before heading to the school nurse, then was loaded into an ambulance with his mother.
I was shaking a lot because I was really scared, and my mom came. She was right beside me the whole time, and I was just like, sorry, mom, sorry, because she was crying.
All students have been discharged from the hospital. Hayden's mother, Christina Wright, tells us she's so grateful her son is okay, but she never thought she'd have to have a conversation about fentanyl with her 10-year-old.
What in the hell is happening to our country? I mean, rewind to earlier in this episode where you've got Senate staffers, anti-Semitic Senate staffers that are yelling at Jewish Republican congressmen to free Palestine from the river to the sea. I mean, you've got these asinine clowns that are then later being recorded having sexual relations in a Senate room that was supposed to be sacred ground, what they said after January 6th. You've got a Democrat Party that is fat and happy, sending billions and millions and more money to active war zones in an attempt to get us into it, in an attempt to get us involved in the war so they can get further fat and happy off the stocks that they have with the military-industrial complex. I mean, just this week, we saw Zelensky coming to sit down with Biden, and here's the aftermath.
For the press, hey, whoa, hush up a second, okay? I got one more thing to say. I've just signed another $200 million drawdown for the Department of Defense for Ukraine, and that'll be coming quickly.
Another $200 million. Another $200 million drawdown that he's unlawfully just zipping away from our tax dollars, your hard-earned money, when you're trying to figure out how you're going to make Christmas work. How are we going to be able to afford the Christmas dinner, the gifts for the kids? Well, we can call Santa and see if Santa will bring us a couple more, but I think Santa's even strapped right now, as all of the materials to build this stuff is more expensive. What we needed to do, inspired by Elon Musk, what we needed to do was the following. When Zelensky asks for more and more and more and more of our money and tells us to not, literally, he says this, don't worry about building roads and bridges. Just send us more money. Here's how this should have gone down.
If you can't give us some financial support, okay, please give us a credit and we will give you back money after the war.
Go f*** yourself. But go f*** yourself.
That's how that should have gone down. That's how it would have gone down if anyone with common sense and a spine would have been able to say, we're going to prioritize our people first. Ukraine, if you need humanitarian aid and food and clothing and water, we'll help you out. But we're not going to get our people and send our sons and daughters, nieces and nephews into a friggin' war, an avoidable war. One that didn't happen under Donald Trump. You remember that? This stuff didn't happen under Trump. I think he was the first president in a handful. I mean, Ukraine was invaded during Obama, during Bush, under Biden, not under Trump. And things got a lot better here back at home. Things are more affordable back at home. And that's why this clip that I'm going to play, this is an interview, just interviews on the street with people. The regular folks in this country are pissed off. The regular folks that haven't been indoctrinated to join a team, that are more policy interested. Like, how are you helping us back at home? How are you putting our people first, America first? Just listen to this one.
Should Donald Trump be a dictator on day one in office?
Yeah.
Why?
He's a thug. He's truly humble under God.
Was your life better off under him or Biden?
That's a great question. Blacks for Trump.
The streets with Trump. He don't take no. He a wild card. He ain't no politician. He a businessman. And he with the coaches. And we with him. You know what I mean?
If the election was tomorrow, would you vote for Trump or Biden?
I'm going to choose Trump. I like his brutal honesty. I feel like we've been f***ed around for too long. He's honest with the people. What he says, he's going to do, he's going to do. And then, you know, a lot of times with politicians, they politic. And they'll tell us one thing, but then go around and do the total opposite. Biden promised free college. I'm a college student. We have yet to see him cancel student debt. And a whole bunch of other progressive shit that he said he was going to do, he didn't do. So whereas Trump is like, oh, we're going to build a wall. We see Trump advocating for a wall.
Oh, so you're saying Trump
2024 to.
That was Shaney Rich. Shaney Rich is a guy who just goes around interviewing people. His interviews with the Democrats are hilarious. And he walks up and doesn't know if they're Republican or Democrat. I mean, did you expect to hear that from those individuals that, look, you know, Biden screwed around. Biden promised all these things. Biden didn't get anything done. Biden's made my life worse. And it's not just Biden. It's these wacko lunatic leftists that are kowtowing to Hamas while our veterans are committing suicide at record numbers, while our kids are being exposed to fentanyl at record numbers, while people are being funneled into this nation. I thought the Democrats hated slavery. Remember, the Democrats are trying to teach our kids that this nation is so flawed and should be blown up from the inside out because of its connection to slavery, even though there's more slavery happening in this world today than it was in 1776. But these hypocrite leftists are hurting themselves, shooting themselves in the foot. And if we do have a pure, actual election, I think we're gonna walk away with this thing. And again, a pure, untainted, true election. And why is it that in states like Missouri, where we've passed, we're going back to paper ballots? These machines cannot be connected to the internet. When you have states pushing for policies like that, why do the leftists go crazy? Why do the Democrats go crazy when you say, yeah, let's have an audit system in place to ensure that nobody, Republican, Democrat, third party, nobody is going to infiltrate the voice of the people? They go, you know what, crazy. And now you've got people like this Boston mayor who is having a Christmas party. It's not going to be a white Christmas in Boston, I guess. I'm surprised she hasn't stepped out in fought against that song. Who, Bing Crosby or whoever the hell sings that song. But it's not going to be a white Christmas because the mayor of Boston, Michelle Wu, is saying no whites allowed. Yeah, if you've got Caucasian skin, can't come to the Christmas party. IBM was exposed. Now IBM is being exposed for allowing discrimination in the hiring process to not allow for whites and Asians. What the hell has our nation devolved into? I mean, imagine if any of this crap was happening, any of this segregation, any of this racism. And this is actual racism, not what the Democrats say. Well, you stand for Trump, you're racist. You're a Republican, you're a racist. Get that crap out of here. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of your straw man BS arguments that hold no water. Because when actual fascism is happening, like with Biden using the DOJ to go after his opponents, like when you have actual racism, a mayor saying, no whites are allowed. This is actual racism. This is actual fascism. And this is why I am a proud member of the Freedom Caucus, to join together, bring the troops together, fight for this nation. It is worth saving. God bless you all. God bless the people of America. Keep standing. Keep fighting.
Stand and Fight with Nick Schwerer.
Me and my girl, we got this relationship. I love her so bad, but she treats me like a... Unlocked down like a penitentiary. She spreads her loving all over, and when she gets home, there's none left for me.
This is SR1.